Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, so one day your son, your daughter, they inform you that they want to, and so you're like me, right? We're just going to go with that you're this very conservative Christian man, woman, father, mother, whatever the case may be, and you've raised your kids up in the way they should go, and they've been raised in your conservative home. They have been raised around that conservative theology, conservative philosophy, conservative politics. And then one day they stop towing the company line, as it were, and you don't know what to do with that. And then fast forward a little bit, and your son or your daughters tell you that they're moving to San Francisco, and you lament and wonder, where, oh Lord, as you rip open your shirt and you cover yourself in sackcloth and ashes, and you wonder, where, oh Lord, did we go wrong? And why is our son or why is our daughter leaving, falling off the bandwagon, falling off the ship, falling into the abyss, and all of a sudden don't hold all your views? Now, that's not exactly the case today on the show with my son, Hayden Noble, who is soon to be 25 this Saturday. Right? Come on in this Saturday.
25.
Happy birthday. Speak up.
Thank you. Halfway to 50.
So you can already tell. Is that a personal shot? Halfway to 50?
No, you're older than 50.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate that. So Hayden turning 25 this Saturday, moving to San Francisco on Monday. So next week, I will not be live on the radio because I'll be driving all across the country, all across the fruited plain with Hayden, and he's moving to San Francisco. We'll talk about that. We recorded earlier today, Who Is This SOB? Episode 8, and with the encouragement of my son here, Hayden, and our daughter, Amelia, they really wanted me to do some interviews as well on the Who Is This SOB podcast. So we're doing, most of the time we're doing the regular SOB podcast when I'm engaging other podcasts that are super popular and bringing kind of a conservative theological and political perspective to it, hopefully with some winsomeness and attractiveness with the ultimate goal of pointing people to Christ, but do an interview every once in a while. And we thought, and actually before, Hayden, you've thought that you've had an idea about podcasting before with you and I.
Yep.
Which was what? Like East Coast, West Coast?
East Coast, West Coast, or should I say Left Coast, Right Coast?
Right, you can do that too. Throw the raw meat out there already. Very good. And what was your thought behind that?
Well, I think that there's probably a lot of disagreement.
Yes.
Across the board, and people have a lot of assumptions about each other and about people on the other side of the aisle or the other side of the country or whatever divide you happen to be choosing. So the thought process is, let's create a space where two people that know and care about each other, that disagree strongly on a lot of issues, can kind of come around some common ground and talk some stuff out.
But one thing that makes it possible, more than anything else, for us to, because when we recorded, it was like an hour and a half earlier today that we recorded the next episode of the Who Is This SOB podcast, so we're going to drop that next week. And you can listen to that because we kind of did it chronologically. We went back to what it was like for him to grow up in a very conservative home. He was towing the company line, defending the same things, thinking the same things, saying the same things as us, then goes off to college and then begins to think on his own and starts to take some positions or some nuances that are different than his parents. And then how do we deal with that? And so he talked about that. That was kind of the second chapter of the podcast. Third chapter of the podcast was the rub that caused, because we struggled for a couple years to have a constructive dialogue when we were getting into it. He's very intelligent. He's well-read. He researches his things. He's not coming to an emotional decision. He's not a snowflake, if you want to use that phraseology. And we would bat heads, and it was harming our relationship. And then over the last, I'd say, a year and a half, maybe 2 years?
Yeah, probably 2 years.
So things have gotten a lot better. And I know of, and I'm going to ask you this question, Hayden, I know of a lot of parents who know that you're not the same conservative that your parents are. And also our daughter Amelia, who's a little bit younger than you, she's 22, is also different politically. And I know a lot of parents that are dealing with that themselves. And sometimes their kids have left the faith. You haven't left the faith. You love the Lord. You're pursuing God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength more than most people I know. But other people that their kids have left the faith, or they just have this big divide because they don't see things the same way politically. One votes for Trump, the other votes for Bernie or whatever. But what about for your generation? What are you hearing out there in terms of the divide between parents and millennials or Gen Z? Or is it Gen X?
Well, I don't know. Whatever it is. It's all these letters.
Millennials and Gen Z.
Yeah. Well, I think for one, there's a lot of dismissiveness across the board that's happening. I mean, my generation just sees, like, previous generation, they're like, why don't you understand? Or, you know, and it's hard, I guess, a lot of times to relate and process. And I know lots of people that are just kind of scared almost to engage in any of those sorts of conversations. So they just are like, okay, we just got to hold it together, clamp it down so we can have a nice family vacation without talking about any
right.
of this. And then hopefully we can get through it and move on. So.
And do you find that this divide, because we talked about this on the podcast that we recorded earlier, it's especially prevalent in social media.
Yes.
But it's prevalent. Do you think it's prevalent in households? I guess that's what I was pointing to. Do you know some people, your age group, that are having this divide with their parents? It's like a house divided.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely some of it. But again, you know, we might get into this, but if you're in relationship with people, it's definitely not the same as what you're seeing putzing around on Facebook or whatever. That's really a horrible arena for people to be engaging in these conversations.
Yes,
there is divide, and a lot of it is generational for sure.
Yeah, and so we're gonna unpack this as we move through the show, and we'll talk about his move to San Francisco. Why San Francisco? What's going on with that? Because it's been funny when I tell people that hey, our oldest son's moving to San Francisco. Because I roll with mostly a very conservative Christian crowd. You mean they're like, why? Oh, my gosh, the land of fruits and nuts and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of times, a few times with some of my friends, the ones that I can do this with, I said, wow, well, you know, you sound a lot like Jonah. And they're, Jonah? And I'm like, yeah, Nineveh. We don't want to go anywhere near Nineveh. Forget the Ninevites. What a bunch of dirtbags. Let them burn, right? So we're going to talk about that. Why San Francisco? What's going on there? But we're also going to unpack a little bit, kind of like we did on the next episode of Who Is This SOB, the podcast we recorded earlier. How do you deal with this? How have we gotten through it as a father and a son who hold some different views? This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, where perhaps the only Christian radio show where you'll ever hear the Foo Fighters. If you don't know who the Foo Fighters are, I don't even know what to do with that. You know who the Foo Fighters are. We're here with Hayden, our oldest son. He's 20, about to turn 25, moving out to San Francisco on Monday. I'm going to be driving out there with him. We're going to take our time. It'll be 4.5, 5 days. But we're talking about that move and why San Francisco, just from his perspective. He's, like I said, about to be 25, right there, kind of low end of the millennials, high end of Gen Z. And we have differences politically. Hayden, this will probably shock some of you, although I think I've mentioned some of this stuff on the air before. But big Andrew Yang fan.
Yes.
Pro-life, you.
Yes.
Pro-life.
Yes.
But a big Andrew Yang fan.
Yep.
You're not you're not a one-issue voter.
No.
So even though somebody like Andrew Yang can be wrong on abortion.
Right.
That's not the only thing you look at.
That is correct.
And so so we you can imagine, for those of you that have been a part of the show for a while, you're sitting there go, wow, how did that happen? Right. So now you're wondering, in a house like mine with a father like me, how does that happen? So I want to touch on that a little. We don't have time to unpack it. And we've got the podcast coming out next week, episode 8 of Who Is This SOB, which is about an hour and a half. So we unpack this whole chronology, this whole story between Hayden and his parents, more me than my wife, but Hayden and his parents. And as he's come on kind of on his own two feet and comes up with positions, political positions largely that we disagree on. But how would you, if somebody says, well, what's your deal politically? How would you describe yourself?
I would say I am left of center.
Left of center.
Yeah, and I don't like to identify too much with if I were to say I'm Democrat or something. I just have such huge problems with the establishment all the way around. So I would rather identify first as a Christian. And if you really want to prod me, then I'll tell you if I take a long quiz where it's going to put me on a chart that oftentimes seems a little arbitrary.
Well, the chart's not going to work very well for you.
No, and it doesn't. It hasn't.
Because you hold to biblical, moral, and ethical standards.
Yep.
A confessional Christian. Just for those of you, you may have heard me say this on the air. I really don't know of anybody of any age right now that's pursuing God in knowledge and wisdom and understanding and spending time not only in the Word but leading Bible studies and listening to sound teaching. I don't really know anybody right now that's consuming as much content as you are. So we're not talking about somebody that's strayed from the faith, okay? And now for some of you, that is your situation. And that's actually a different show, although I will ask Hayden about that because I'm sure he's got plenty of friends and plenty of stories that he's encountered. But talking politically, because that makes you a bit of an oddball because you lean left in some policies, but you're very right in other policies, as to use the common terminology that's out there. So when we talk about politics, just share a little bit about what it was like growing up in our house, ultra conservative, obviously, and then going to college. And then as we've kind of struggled over the last couple of years, but things are much better now, praise the Lord. But just share that kind of an abbreviated version.
Sure. Yeah. So I grew up with all of the skills and tool sets for defending the faith, both in the Lord and in our glorious red states. So I spent a lot of time learning about facts and all. I mean, the ethic that kind of drives you and how you have gathered your information and argued your policies and everything, I was right there along with it. When you got into the culture war stuff at the beginning of your political, should I call it a political career? Whatever you want
activism.
To call it. Activism.
Whatever.
I was right there with you. I was going into Radio Shack at, we determine what, 10?
Yeah, 10 I think you were 10 years of age.
Walking in asking if they're allowed to say Merry Christmas.
Yep. War on Christmas, 2004, 2005.
All that joyous stuff. So that was my experience growing up all the way. And I learned, I think, the best arguments for why I believed what I believed. But I think what happened was I had kind of specific categories for what it looks like to be a Christian or whatever. And I wasn't really running into people that were Christian that were outside of that political ideology. And so when I started to run into those people, that kind of broke all of my ways of processing the world and my ways of processing what it means to be a Christian and all of these things.
And then the environment you grew up in, homeschooling, Southern Baptist Church.
Yep.
You didn't really meet a lot of people.
No.
That had differing political opinions philosophical or religious opinions, but predominantly political.
Yeah. If I did meet them, they were just crazy and they were a quick person to dismiss.
Right. So we talked about this on the podcast, which I mentioned will come out next week, the episode 8 of Who Is This SOB? So that we categorize one another, and there's the left and there's the right. There's the believer, there's the unbeliever, which makes the divide deeper and wider. And then we act out of that. So we just go, well, these people are such idiots, they're snowflakes, whatever. And then we just write one another off.
Yep.
And we don't have relationship, but you're a relational guy.
Yes, I am, first and foremost.
And so that, talk about that a little bit, because that there's a big lesson here about being relational. Because a lot of times we don't invest in a lot of relationships with people that don't agree with us. But talk about that, the relational part of your life.
Right. Well, so if you exist in a bubble where people are all saying the same thing, then it's easy to just kind of continue to enforce a certain way of viewing the world. But I mean, I have never been one to kind of weed through who's okay enough to be my friend or whatever. So when I went off to college and started to interact with more people, I started to run into people either from minorities or from different political scopes or whatever, and I would talk to them. And the more that I talked to them and heard their opinions and the way that they thought about the world, again, within the context and confines of the relationship I had with them, me being a really empathetic, like, person, a lot of it really resonated with me, and I started to put myself into other people's shoes beyond the shoes that I had worn down from fitting in them for so long.
And at the school you went to down in Florida, would you say, because that was a media arts school, so kind of tech, artsy,
dyed hair, tattoos.
Right, yeah, skateboards, whatever. Were there a lot of political discussions, or how would you describe that environment? Because a lot of people, like one friend on Facebook, are, you know, where did Hayden go to college? Curious how liberal the environment was.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the things that parents think. We send you off to college. You go to a liberal secular university. You're going to get indoctrinated, and you come back, and we don't know who you are.
Well, that was my assumption going in, was that that was the threat. I found something very different. But generally, so people at my school kind of broke down into two categories. There were people that were really serious about the school because it was a hard school to go through. And then there were people that were just there to party and have fun. And if you were too extreme on any one of those categories, you probably weren't engaging in these conversations. But this was 2014 through 2016. It was a two-year program for bachelor's. And the people that were kind of in the middle of those categories, especially leading into 2016 when all that nightmare was going down, the conversations were definitely starting to increase. And there was a fair balance. I mean, it wasn't just a giant liberal echo chamber or whatever. And on top of that, you know, I was still connected with everybody on Facebook from back in Raleigh and all that. So I definitely had a good pot to pull from.
And then we're coming up on a break, but I want to talk about on the other side of the break kind of some of your positions that change. So here's what I want you to do. And jot down some notes during the break. Come back and name three or four policy positions that are going to really ruffle everybody's feathers, because most of my audience is very conservative politically. So do that. And we'll talk about, we're not going to go ad nauseum into all that because we don't have time. But some of those positions we'll talk about when you came home and we started to get into it. And then we'll eventually talk about how God has done a work in our relationship and in our family, how things are much better. And then we'll finish by talking about your move to San Francisco. We'll be right back.
So if you're happy in your stuff, and if 10% enough, stay away.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. What do you do when your kids go off to college and they come back and they think they're a liberal? Now, for some of you, they left the faith, and if they were kind of in your house and politically conservative because that's what the family was, and then they leave the faith or lose their faith, and then the liberalism, politically speaking, kind of goes hand in hand with that. That's one thing. In the case of our oldest son, who's with me today in the studio, Hayden, who will be 25 on Saturday, moving to San Francisco on Monday, which we're going to talk about eventually, that wasn't the case. He's actually gone deeper into his faith. He's a great student of the Bible, a great Bible study leader, but he's also changed some of his policy positions. He's centrist, left of center. He doesn't fit neatly in either box. He's not a conservative Republican. He's not a liberal Democrat. He's an amalgam in the middle, which I think makes you dangerous and challenging. And I think good. I think from a Christian perspective, we should be rocking the boat on both sides.
Yeah, I hope both those things to be helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. So I asked you to jot down a few policy things that might. Now, again, we're talking about our son. OK, he's our oldest. He'll be 25 on Saturday. But I know I'm not the only one. I know there's a lot of parents out there or grandparents where your kids are growing up, especially if they go off to college and stuff, where all of a sudden they're not towing the company line. And how do you deal with that? Which we're going to talk about in a second. But just some examples of where you and I would differ on policy when it comes to politics.
Sure. So for one, yeah, I definitely took the libertarian approach to the marriage, sexual ethics side of things.
Get government out of it.
Yeah, for sure. Which, yeah, that whole thing really bothers me. I mean, if you go back and look at the history of marriage licenses, they were very much intended to be restrictive of biracial couples.
Right, yeah.
It's the whole thing. And, you know, I was just like, this is pretty ridiculous that we're trying to do this. And it caused so much division. I mean, I remember all of the hate-filled, vitriolic things that I said towards people back during that whole fight thing that was happening in the U.S. and feeling like the world was just collapsing on us and all our Christian values were going away and our Christian nation is falling apart. And I think at the root of that whole thing was that I was buying into this idea that America is our kind of Western Jerusalem, if you will, and our Western promised land. And I think that's a huge problem.
Which I would call political idolatry. And oftentimes on the show, I say I think a lot of us care more about America than we do Americans.
Yeah.
So the political state of the country, operationally anyway, seems to be more important to us than the spiritual state of our neighbor.
Right.
Or people on the other side of the aisle, or Antifa, or a BLM protester, or whatever.
Right. And I think that, you know, you can look back through history, but any time that Christians get a bunch of power and are in control of a bunch of things, it can really cause some serious problems. I mean, Jesus' whole ethic was meekness and mildness and tenderness and all these things. And like I said at the end of our podcast that we recorded earlier, like Jesus, more than anything, shows that true power is in humility and in service. And you know, we're supposed to be, like, our charge as Christians in the post-resurrection world is to be people that recognize that we're not in the new creation, that we're not in Israel, but rather we're in Babylon.
Yeah.
And we can't get in bed with the Babylonian leadership. We can be there, be involved, but ultimately our government is not God's kingdom on earth.
Right. Yep.
And that, so that was something I got over, and with that came, okay, why am I trying to make it, I mean, why am I trying to force these people to behave a certain way,
yeah,
or whatever? I just realized that holding to positions on marriage or whatever was causing far more division and causing far more hurt and a lot of marginalization and ignorance than any help that it could have possibly.
And that happens on both sides.
Yes.
We talked about that earlier today.
No, yeah, for sure.
Both sides are guilty of this. We are being manipulated into division all the time, and then we choose to play along.
Yes.
So a lot of times we're suckers. Media, right media, left media, mainstream media, Fox News, whatever, social media is just driving this division thing. And that really, I think, has been a huge problem in the church, in the conservative political side of the church, that there's a lot of political idolatry there on the left as well. And so we buy into it. And then we think, you know, these people are stinking liberal, blah, 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 and let them burn. And I don't care. And I'm not going to deal with these people. They're lunatics. They're going to destroy the country. And I can hear Jesus out there saying something about, what do you think about their soul?
Yep.
This is somebody I died for. So do you ever think about them in that light? And I think we struggle with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that was one. Keep going. Some other policy things, then we'll move on.
Immigration?
This
one came into sharp and painful focus.
Have we ever argued about immigration?
I don't know.
You want to?
Probably not.
Okay, what about it?
I just, I think we can all agree that the immigration system is messed up in this country, that the way that people get citizenship, I mean, it's essentially win a lottery, and then you're entered into another lottery, and then you might be good.
So the system is massively inefficient.
Yeah, I think people can agree with that across the board and across the aisle there. What I don't support is all the deportation that's happening. Because I think, honestly, people that I know that are immigrants or are here for a short time, like, they tend to be more hyped about the United States than a lot of my angry leftist friends are.
Isn't that sad?
It is sad. It's unfortunate, but it just goes to show you what a great place this is and how easy it is to, like, totally forget that.
Yeah, take it for granted.
Yeah, totally.
But you're not, would you say you're an open borders person?
So I'm not an open borders person, but I think that we need to fix the immigration process. I think that we can absolutely compensate for, I mean, because like one of the big complaints that people have is like, well, they're on welfare, they're using our systems or whatever. It's like, well, if we could make them citizens faster, then they would be paying into our system.
Because that's the problem. Because I would sit there and go, and I've had this conversation with somebody I did business with who was legal, but a bunch of this person's employees were not. And I talked about, so what would they be willing to do to become citizens? First of all, do they want to become citizens? Yes, most of them do.
Yes.
Okay, what would they be willing to do? And then we talked, then we literally were haggling over a price. So I said, okay, so would they be willing to, let's say that we cut the deal this way. I'm going to admit that I came in here illegally. I broke the law. It's not going to be a felony. It might be a misdemeanor. And then I'm going to pay a fine. And then I'm going to have a quick process to become a citizen. We'll talk about voting rights and stuff later. But would they pay $5,000 in a fine? And she goes, and you know who I'm talking about. And she was like, oh, absolutely. Would they pay more? Oh, sure they would. How much more? She said, I like 10 grand. She goes, yeah, I think most of them would probably pay $10,000 to become a citizen. They would be willing to admit that they came in illegally, and then you clean it up and you move on. And then and she was like, yeah, most of the ones that she knows. So broken immigration system, we need to fix that. Give me another one, just for the sake of time.
Oh, issue along. Three, sure. Well, issue three was the single issue voting thing. Is just, I mean, because what I...
Oh, what is this called? I love this idea, actually.
Of what?
This was...
Oh, wait. Are you talking rank choice?
Yeah, I'm talking rank choice. What are you talking about?
Oh, I'm talking about life.
Well, what about it?
I'm talking about the fact
that... Oh, right. You're not a one-issue voter.
I'm willing to vote for pro-choice candidates.
Okay, so real quick, why is that? Explain that.
Okay, well, first of all, if that's someone's primary platform and that's what they're running on, then no, I'm not going to be voting for that. But what I have noticed is that there's a lot of discussions around this and how it... You know, if we just ban all abortion, then it's going to hurt women. And so... I'm like, okay, well, let's just undercut these arguments. If we can get someone in who's going to be able to provide the social safety nets that these women need, and that's going to fix the adoption system, and that's going to come in and actually start enforcing child support in a more meaningful way, then all of a sudden there's a little bit more room for the discussion. Because I think the problem is that a lot of us aren't in that situation. And again, I don't think that there's an excuse for abortion,
yeah,
period.
I know you don't.
But I think a lot of us are not in that situation. And so it's easy to say, well, you should just deal with it. It was your mistake. You're responsible for it. And to a degree, I understand that. But I think it's really tone deaf to the fact that these people, a lot of times, like their lives are upended and nearly destroyed.
Yeah,
and it's
so,
because we don't have the safety net for that anymore.
So we'll protest, but we won't come alongside.
And right.
Now, there are plenty of Christians that do. There's ministries I work with that do. But largely,
correct.
It's something that we talk about. We have the orthodoxy down, but the orthopraxy, what we do, doesn't match our orthodoxy. Does
correct.
That make sense?
Yep.
Okay. Anything else? These are just examples. So, like, this has been a big rub in our house between
yes.
me and Hayden and his mom. So, we start with that issue, the one issue voter, and we're like, okay, if they can't get life right, we don't trust them, their compass is off, and we just kind of throw the whole thing out, and you don't. So, let's talk about how we've kind of worked through that, because for a couple of years, it was bad. We would argue, and it was angry, and it wasn't pretty.
Yep.
So, what was that like? How did that make you feel?
Not great. I mean, I definitely felt like unheard or whatever. Because, like, you, if you're, like, when I was growing up, the way that I responded to people was a lot of marginalizing and sidelining and just saying, like, yo, you don't understand, whatever, you're just emotional. And all of a sudden, like, the stuff that I was dishing out, all of a sudden I'm on the receiving end.
We were dishing that onto you. You're on the receiving end. Yes, that was a very difficult part of our conversation that we recorded earlier today. That'll be episode 8 of Who Is This SOB that's coming out next week. What did we title that one? Son of an SOB? Is
yes,
that what we kind
S-O-S-O-B.
Of
S-O-S-O-B.
Jeez. Getting a little edgy there. This is Steve Noble with his son. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, here today with Hayden Noble. Relation? Is he related? Yes, he's related, obviously. He's not obviously.
I hope so.
I hope so, yes. A good retort there. We're talking today about political differences, and he grew up, you know, obviously in our home, very conservative, theologically, politically, goes off to college. He went to a college that I guess environmentally, would we say it was liberal? But because it's a media arts
yeah.
school, yeah, liberal with the student body. What about teachers? Because it's not like you guys were doing Western civilization and philosophy and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, there wasn't too much political conversation when we were discussing how to best set up a material node net. But.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, and then in that, he was out of kind of the echo chamber of his home and his Southern Baptist Church back here in Raleigh, and then began to consider other positions on political things. He hasn't walked away from the scriptures. Like I said, he's deeper into his faith now than he ever has been, and holds to scriptural opinions on things like life, on things like marriage. Now, how does that work out as a libertarian? Get the government out of marriage, things like that. How do you deal with taxes, universal basic income, that kind of stuff, where we disagree. But it was really painful because, like Hayden said before the break, that the marginalization that you had used against people that didn't agree with the environment you grew up in.
Yep.
All of a sudden, as we're arguing, mom and dad and you, all of a sudden you become the marginalized one.
Yes, all of a sudden I'm on the other end of that.
Yes, though. You're on the other end of that, and that felt terrible.
Not great.
Yeah, and then somebody, Tate Cockrell, who's been on the show before, a great Christian counselor, asked me recently, we were talking through this stuff, and he said, do you get that upset when you have a listener or somebody on Facebook or social media that disagrees with you? And I'm like, no, I just kind of walk away from it. No big deal. And he goes, why do you think it's so difficult? Why do you think you get so angry when it's your own son or daughter? And we talked about this earlier today. I said, well, it kind of feels like a betrayal. And you take it personally. And so it's highly charged emotionally. Mm-hmm. But what would you say kind of started to turn the corner for us? What was God doing in your heart? Maybe what was he doing in my heart that we still butt heads, but we can do it with love. We can stay in the conversation. I'm a little bit better than I was a few years ago and stay a little bit calmer. I still struggle with that. But what's happened to kind of improve things for us?
Well, I think stuff was really tough for me post-2016 because it was just a lot of like, oh my gosh, like I'm waking up and I'm starting to realize all this compromise that's going on. And that was really agitating.
Compromise
between Christian ethics and the people that we're making excuses for.
So you saw that as a Bible-believing Christian waving a Trump flag is contradictory.
Yes.
Because of his character and the way he treats people,
that
stuff like that.
That is correct.
Okay, got it. All right.
So,
and that's pretty normal position for kind of Christian Jerry.
Yep.
Got it.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So that is how that started. And it was just a lot of angry, like emotional response to that. It's like, why can't you just see? Why can't you just understand what you're doing and what you're giving off by saying this? So I think a lot of that kind of stereotyping, I mean, even me knowing you, there was still like a caricature that I was creating that was making it really hard for me to, like, I just wanted to beat it into you or something,
which
I was trained well, but apparently it's hard to do with you as opposed to some, you know, snowflake person. But yeah, so then I think the thing that turned the corner is I started to realize that I had to change up my tactics and all that. I see in Jesus' character a lot of respect for other people and a lot of willingness to let people just kind of go off and continue to do what they're doing, and to approach those conversations with truth but with a lot of humility. And so for me, on my end, I think the thing that changed was that I stopped taking it so much onto myself to force you to change really quickly. But the thing that was really the kind of the catalyst for the whole thing was when you and I were having a conversation one day, and I just broke down and I just told you, like, I'm not feeling respected or like that you value my opinion as a person. I just feel shot down. And for whatever reason, that was the right time for you to be receptive of it. And you just kind of owned up to it at that point. And obviously it wasn't an instantaneous conversion, if you will. But it's been a really great journey, like beyond then, to just continue to grow and learn. Okay, we can have these conversations in a healthy way. Let's be self-aware of what we're bringing into it that may be really cluttering everything up, and just continue to develop that relationship.
Yeah, and I think one of the things for your mom and I is that, and we had to go down this road with your sister, was we have to choose. Are we going to die on the hill of our political differences, or are we going to choose the relationship over our political differences? And mom and I talked about this and definitely decided we need to change. We need to prioritize our relationship.
Yep.
And then you said it earlier on the podcast that we need to you decided we need to play the long game here. We can listen. We can go back and forth because our conversations challenge me. A year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I had an intern for the summer who was way to the left of you. And that was a big challenge. And he pushed back, very intelligent. He could make an argument. And that was good for me. It was good for my mind to sharpen how I deal with my own positions. But it was also good for my heart to be more compassionate and more patient and choose the relationship. And it's a long game. And we both benefit from it.
Yes.
I think we both benefit from it politically. I think we both benefit from it policy-wise. One of the things that I bring up a lot in our conversations is when we can both generalize. We overgeneralize.
Oh, yes.
Everybody in this camp, everybody, we start using that kind of language.
It's a lot easier.
Oh, my goodness, isn't it?
To communicate that way.
Yeah, all you got, all of them. And we go, hold on a second. We don't have all knowledge, so we can't say that. But I think now that we choose the relationship over our differences, and we hash through it, and ultimately it's good for both of us to work through it.
Yeah, but surprise, surprise, relationships is where actual productive conversation happens.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
And that's where it can be really heartbreaking in family. Okay, I'm gonna turn the page just because for the sake of time. Tell us about why San Francisco, because everybody's, oh my goodness, Hayden's moving to San Francisco.
Because I've been indoctrinated and I want to be with my people.
That's hilarious.
No, I mean, San Francisco is quite simply one of the primary places where culture is created in the world now. Silicon Valley is there. The people that are, I mean, we were talking earlier about how social media, you know, kind of drives all of this debate and all that. I mean, that's people that make those decisions, that write those algorithms and code all that. And it's a big cultural setter. And so initially it was very much like, I want to go for work. But then I got connected with my church out there, Reality SF, which when I found them, it was just kind of like, okay, I just need to find like a healthy church so that I have someone to kind of be my cushion when I'm entering this very different environment. But as I connected with them, went back, listened through their early years as a church and their sermons and all this, I started to hear about kind of what they were dealing with and what life was like. And I really felt God kind of shifting my heart away from, okay, go here because it's a good place for your career, and towards like, no, this is a city where God is doing a lot. There's been an evangelical explosion over the last 10 years in the city. And I just see now, looking back, tracing through everything, how so many traits of mine and experiences of mine have all led up to, I'm being prepared to go and be here. And I'm not going to call it a mission trip, but it's very much a missional mindset and context in which I'm approaching the city. And I love it very dearly. And I see that God's doing big things there. And I really feel like I'm specifically being called to be a part of that.
Yeah, you have a heart for the city. Pray for the welfare of the city. Technologically and industry-wise, because Hayden's a game artist, so he does 3D design in the game environment. And so there's a lot going on out there. If my prayers are answered in the affirmative, sooner or later he'll be working in the Star Wars universe, and I'll finally get to tour Skywalker Ranch and stuff like that. I hope the Lord allows me to live long enough, and that dream of yours comes true. We'll see. But business-wise, career-wise, it's a great place for you. But your mom and I know that God's just given you a heart for the city.
Yes.
And you were willing to walk away from your life in Orlando and move out there without a job yet, but God provided through your mom's family a place for you to live rent-free. Is it the most expensive city on the planet to live in?
It is the most expensive city on the planet to live in.
And a lot of people, Christians, a lot of us just sit there and go, it's like Nineveh. And we just write the land of fruits and nuts, California. And there's a lot of things about California I don't like, but there's people there.
Yes.
And there's people, there's lost people there and people that are don't know the Lord. And to be able to go in there, love them well, be a great listener, be an empathetic person like you, way better you than me. Although I think part of me would enjoy going in there. And certainly I'll get the chance to do that with you.
But we'll give you a little more training before we get you in that environment.
What are you excited about most moving to San Francisco? We head out, so I won't be on the radio all next week because we're driving out there.
Jeez. I think just knowing that I'm where I got to be, you know, for a really long time, it was just kind of like the long-term pipe dream. It was kind of, well, maybe before I turned 30 or something like that.
Yeah.
And the fact that the door is open now, and knowing that this has been on my heart for so many years, just being in that space and knowing, no, I'm not in the belly of the fish headed the wrong direction,
right.
But I'm actually walking towards where I need to be.
Yeah.
That, I mean, who knows what's on the other side of that?
You know?
All I know is that I'm supposed to be there. What happens next? I mean, maybe there's going to be a sequel to this show at some point.
I'm sure there will be.
But I'm just excited to see what God has in store.
And so is your dad, and so is your mom, and so is your family. And I hope the rest of your family of Christ is equally as excited. Hey, thanks for doing this with me today.
I appreciate the opportunity.
It's been a great pleasure, a great honor, a great blessing. Hayden, by the way, for those of you long-termers, he used to produce the show. He did that for 3 years.
I did.
You turned out okay anyway.
Yeah, somehow.
Yeah, somehow. God bless
you.
Not
by some people's metrics.
I love you, bro. Thanks, everybody, for being here. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad and Hayden's grandfather always used to say, ever forward.